We used to love Christmas. We used to love Christmas because it was so mysterious and full of magic and excitement. Can you remember, those of you who are older, when Christmas morning, when 4 a.m. was a lion for you, because you'd been up a long time before that and probably ordered sternly back to bed? You can remember that, just the overwhelming excitement of waking up when it's pitch dark on Christmas morning, and whether you're allowed to or not, tearing into your stocking, opening up all the presents, the mystery, the wonder, the excitement of Christmas. And then as we get older, hopefully we don't love Christmas any less, we just love it in a different way, particularly because Christmas is so familiar and it's comfy. And we know, at least we hope we know, what's coming up. And maybe in your family or household, you've got all the little rituals. Food, presents, quirky habits, quirky relatives. You basically know how the day is going to pan out. And you love Christmas because of that. And as Pauline read to us Luke chapter 2, you think, we're in a familiar territory. We can settle down again and be reminded of stuff which we basically know. Because this story is obviously as old as the first Christmas. And maybe you've known this story since your first nativity play. You've been there. You've done that. You've got the tea towel. You've worn the tea towel on your head, so to speak, if you were a shepherd in your nativity. It's safe. It's familiar. But it's so strange. It's so mysterious. It's so disturbing. It's so unsettling. And if you go tonight feeling disturbed, then some of my job is done. If you go away seeing a few things which are unfamiliar and uncomfortable, that's what I hope you would see and what I hope you'd be feeling in your heart of hearts. I was talking about these verses a couple of weeks ago with a professional historian, and he said they are totally incredible, totally unbelievable, but he said they are totally credible, totally and utterly believable. I rather like that. I think that is what Luke, who wrote these verses, was expecting us to think and feel. So let's look at these verses one more time tonight under those two titles. Let's look at what is totally unbelievable and then at what is totally believable. And through that kind of grid, get to see a little bit more closely the real message of Christmas. So firstly, Christmas is totally unbelievable. It is, according to the man who wrote this episode, the man called Luke. And as I was working through these verses last week, I saw at least four things. You can maybe find many more which are totally unbelievable. Let's just note them really quickly. First of all, we've got this man, verse 9. Could be a man, could be a lady. I don't think angels are ever given a gender, actually, in the Bible. But you've got this person from another world. Did this person have wings? We don't know. Did this person have a halo? Unlikely. There are no halos in the Bible. But this person comes, and then there's this phrase, the glory of the Lord shone around them. So this person, according to Luke, comes from another dimension of reality. And when he steps into our reality, he comes with something of the dazzling beauty of God. Don't skip over that little phrase or detail too quickly, will you? When it says the glory of the Lord shone around them, what Luke is trying to tell us is everything that we instinctively know that God is, utterly good, utterly wise, utterly powerful, completely perfect, it's as if that is radiating and shining out into that dark night, coming with the angel. So there's the first unbelievable. This angel comes with something of the shining out of God's perfection around him. Secondly, it's his message. This extraordinary claim, I bring you good news of great joy for everybody, for all people. Good news. Our town has had a lot of bad news. If you want to get sad quickly, read the Examiner. Not because of the quality of journalism. I think there's one in tonight. But just because of the horrible stuff that's been going on this year in all sorts of places. Our town has been in national media for all the wrong reasons. And maybe as you just review in your mind your last 12 months, what comes up? Is it the good news, the wonderful stuff that has happened, or is it the hard stuff, the painful stuff, the tragedies, the setbacks, the disappointments? And we get tired, don't we? And we get cynical. And we get defensive. And this angel says to tired, cynical, defensive shepherds, what I'm bringing you is good, good news, which will make you unbelievably joyful. And it's not just for you, and it's not for your kids only. It's for all people. Christmas has got that universal scope. At least that's what Luke says it has. The message, good news, great joy, for everybody. Because who has come? The angel's message is not about himself or herself, but verse 11, a savior, a rescuer has been born. He is, now hear this phrase please, he is Christ. That means he is the promised rescuer. The one the ancient prophecies were always pointing to and speaking about. He's come. But that promised rescuer is God. Is the Lord. A totally unbelievable message. A rescuer has come. He's God himself. And then thirdly, okay, shepherds, in case you're struggling with this, you don't believe it. Here's a sign, verse 12. Go to Bethlehem, walk into the town, and you will find shouting down an animal shed, a crying baby. One of the silliest lines in any Christian carol is that the little Lord Jesus, the away in a manger baby, no crying he makes. Pull the other one. He's a newborn baby. They are born to cry. But just get the unbelievability of this. God has come as good news for all humanity, and the sign is a 6 pound 1 ounce, a 5 pound 3 ounce, as one of my children wants, a 10 pound 4 ounce baby. It is as silly as it sounds. God comes in rescuing power into the world, and he hasn't even got control of his bladder. He's a baby laid, as we've been thinking, in an animal's feed trough. He's the God baby, and he is good news. The last unbelievable detail is suddenly the sky is filled with singing and shouting and celebrating with, verse 13, a great company of the heavenly host. That word host, don't think hospitality, think armies. That's the message. It's as if heaven's armies burst onto the scene, shouting and celebrating. So if the shepherds were scared already, which Luke says they were, verse 9, they're going to be scared now. There's nothing about the scene which is comfortable, safe, cozy. Everything that's disturbing and very, very terrifying, and we would be terrified too if it happened to us. But Luke insists that though it sounds and looks and feels totally unbelievable, a messenger, angels singing the praise of their God, a message of the God baby, it is believable. You haven't got printed out, but I've got here, because I got the Bible up here, just the beginning of Luke's gospel, Luke's record, which I want to read to you, just these four verses. Luke is painfully aware that what he is writing sounds incredible, unbelievable. So listen to the way he's wanting you to think about what you've read and heard this evening. He says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Now just hear that. He's saying, there's other people, they have been shocked and stunned and eager to write an account of this. They have tried. Now Luke says, I've joined the ranks as well. He says, I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. And so, writing to a friend of his, he says, it seemed good for me also to write an orderly account for you. And then he says, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have believed. Luke is dealing in certainty, not exaggeration, not myth, not mass hallucinations. Certainty. Ah, you say, this is all about faith. We say it is. But in the Bible, faith is a proper response to fact. And the fact is, according to this first Christmas night and Luke's record of it, God has stepped into our world. And we need to do something about that. I had a conversation summer before last with a 90-year-old man. And in the course of the conversation, he happened to tell me that he used to be a very close friend of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, the writer of the Narnia stories. And he told me about a time, and I think it was about 1957, when he moved to a new city, and his friend had also, C.S. Lewis had also moved to that new city, and my friend was in his new accommodation, just moving the furniture, getting things shipshape, and there was a hard knock at the door, and he opened it up, and there was the man. And this elderly man was relating this conversation. He told me the words C.S. Lewis said, the tone of voice in which he said them, even down to the fact that he rapped hard with the end of his walking stick. Those were events remembered which were over 60 years ago. I had no reason to doubt this man, because that, albeit a brief snippet, a minute or two, that had burnt into his memory. And nothing could get it out, because he was a dear and a close friend of this brilliant man. And 60 years on, he still had that memory. It was so important to him. We were to say to Luke, Luke, you're just, it doesn't sound right what you've written. It can't be right. It's unbelievable, surely. I think Luke would say something like, well, I know it sounds unbelievable. It's weird, it's bizarre, it's strange. But Luke was convinced it took place. It is fact. The totally unbelievable is actually to be believed. It is believable. And that's what Christian people say about Christmas. We're not embarrassed about angels and choirs and a message that God became a baby. And we think that actually happened. And we need to respond about it. So let's just think about the believability of it, focusing for the last few minutes on those shepherds themselves. But just coming to those shepherds, who is to say that if God should choose to reveal himself, why would he not do it with messengers from another realm, dimension of reality? We think that what we can see and smell and taste and touch is all there is. Says who? What if our reality were just the tiniest portion of reality? What if a God we can't see were to bring a message to our world? It was Marshall McLuhan who worked in media in the 1960s, where advertising was really kind of finding its force with radio and television, who said famously, you probably heard it, the medium is the message. And by that he was saying the way in which you communicate, the way in which you bring an idea is part of the communication, it's part of the idea. I think God beat him to it. God sends an angel to make people sit up, look, listen and think. To a busy, distracted, cynical world, an angel bursts in. And he bursts in, very interestingly, to people who were probably very cynical, very distracted, who knew life was hard, who weren't gullible. And that's these shepherds. If you wanted a hard, low status, no status, zero hour contract lifestyle, be a shepherd. But you wouldn't want to be a shepherd. These were tough men. They didn't believe at fairies in the bottom of the garden or angels appearing out of nowhere. But something happened that night which gave them the fright of their lives. I would love to be at this scene for so many reasons. I don't think I'd be brave enough, but I would love to eavesdrop what went on in verse 15. These angels, as soon as they come and celebrate, then they disappear. And the shepherds are left talking to themselves, rubbing their eyes, blinking, pinching themselves. Did you see that? Did you hear that? What are we going to do? And they make their decision and they go. They go to the city. They go to Bethlehem. They've got to find out because they think they've had a message from God. And I think we all of us deep down know this God is real. Our hearts know it. Our hearts have been built for it. But many of us make the tragic mistake. And it goes like this. Oh, well, if this God is real, he'll give me a miracle. This God is real, he'll send me an angel. And I think I'd want to say with this passage open before us, yeah, he would. Because he has. He sent you an angel. It's just not tonight. It was 2,000 years ago. He sent you a miracle, and that miracle came 2,000 years ago. The miracle is, we're still sitting around kidding ourselves that God's got to show up. God has shown up. He sent the angel. He's brought the message. The Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle. The challenge is, what are we going to do about this Christmas miracle? Totally unbelievable, but actually disturbingly, uncomfortably believable. Written down for you that you might study it, wrestle with it, engage with it, ask questions about it, and make a proper response to it. Because if there's one thing Luke does not want any of us to do, is say, wasn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? To sing those carols and hear those familiar readings and listen to that nice man for 20 minutes. That will be a mistake. We love a good nativity play, don't we? I think the reason some of us love it, it's just so safe. It's so tame. It's just so right for the children. But the more you think about the Nativity story, what we've been reading and hearing about tonight, it's not tame, it's not safe. It should come with a PG. It's uncomfortable. It's unsettling. It's supposed to be. Because this is the great claim of Christmas. God cares deeply about us, but he is rightly angry. The way we play games with him and push him away and take the infinitely precious gift of life which he's given us and squander it as foolishly as we do. We are in a mess. We need a rescuer. The rescuer is here. The final detail I want to pick out of our verse is in verse 12. It's part of the angel's incredible, unbelievable message. You'll find a baby in cloths, lying in a manger. The old translations say, wrapped in swaddling bands. It's a very strange picture, isn't it? What does that mean? It means that baby is so wrapped up, his arms are squished into his chest. And people in different cultures have been swaddling babies for thousands of years. And every sort of 20, 30 years, there's trends going through the UK about you swaddle your baby. The baby doesn't feel trapped. He or she feels secure and safe and warm and peaceful. What could be more harmless than a Christmas baby all wrapped up, can't even move his arms, The shock of Christmas is that Jesus came not to keep his arms into his chest, but at Easter to stretch them out wide and to take upon himself all of our wrongdoing, all of our shame and our guilt, our foolishness, our pride, and in act of incredible love and self-giving to die under the weight of God's punishment. And then to rise, and then to rule, and then to be here tonight by his Spirit to say, it's all believable. Why don't you believe? Why don't you find out more? Why don't you respond? Why don't you stop doubting? Why don't you step out? Stop living your unbelievable life of rejection of Jesus. Step into his life, his forgiveness, his joy, his reality. Discover why heaven is shouting in celebration, why cynical men are moved and find out themselves, and if you read on, discover their own joy. Join them. Discover this. Don't wait. Don't excuse yourself. Don't put it off. But find out about Jesus and find out and respond. We've got little leaflets here, just taking you a little bit further in the Christmas message, what it means, why it's so important, what it would look like for you to take that step of discovery. Or you could join us at any of our Christmas services activities. We'd be thrilled to bits to see you and to welcome you. The details are on the back of your order service sheet, or any Sunday's a good Sunday. But you don't need us. You can open your heart to the Lord Jesus even this night and discover God's incredible gift at Christmas. Thank you for listening. Let's pray briefly and then we'll sing. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you came to be the Saviour of the world. For each of us, all our respective stages, difficulties, excuses, teach and lead us, we pray, to know what it means to make that response of receiving you as our gifted Saviour. And for all that you are, for all that you've done, we give you great thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.